9:36 on this Wednesday morning on News Talk 97.3 Cairo FM. So our country is having major budget problems. The people in Washington, the Capitol, trying to figure out how to get some money back into the system. Naturally, whenever that happens, they talk about your money, because that's where the government gets its money. It's either got to come from the people of this country or the corporations of this country. You know, one of the ideas that has for a long time been politically taboo, but is now apparently moving from the back burner to the front burner, is the idea of a national sales tax. If you've ever gone to Europe or other nations of the world, you may have seen something on a receipt for anything you bought or any services that you used that said VAT, value added tax. That's essentially fancy language for a sales tax. In some places, the sales tax can be 5%, like in Japan. In other places, it can be 25%, like in Hungary and in parts of Scandinavia. It would raise a lot of money if the country adopted a national sales tax. But would we go for it as Americans? Just the word tax raises the hair on the back of the necks of pretty much everybody I know. Let's bring in Bob McIntyre for some perspective on this. He's from the nonprofit Citizens for Tax Justice. Hi, Bob. Welcome to News Talk 97.3 Cairo FM.
Hi, glad to be there.
What's your take on the idea of a national sales tax?
Well, it's not my favorite option. It's just got so many problems. You know, first of all, as everybody understands, sales taxes are very regressive. The poor people spend all they make or even more in many cases. So they're going to get hit hard. The middle class comes close to spending all that it makes. And the rich people, they get to save a lot of money, so they don't get hit nearly as hard. So you start off with that big problem, and that it's a tax that's a tax on the middle class and the poor primarily.
You're taxing consumption, and on the other hand, maybe you're encouraging saving. Because saving isn't going to be taxed nearly as much if we can reduce capital gains rates and others. Don't we push people towards putting some more money away instead of building up that huge debt on their credit cards?
Well, you might cause people to spend less, although, you know, we tried this sort of a policy during the Bush administration with cutting taxes on capital gains and dividends and rich people in general, and the savings rate went down to zero. So it's not a lock that you shift people's behavior. I mean, for a lot of people, they're going to just have to borrow more to maintain their standard of living if prices go up by 10 or 15 or 20% or whatever people are talking about here. So the economics of it are mixed at best. And, you know, you look at American businesses that are in trouble now, the automakers, the home builders, their problem isn't that people are saving too much. It's that nobody's buying their products. And if you make them, you know, 15 or 20% more expensive, that's going to be real tough on industries, especially ones that sell products that cost a lot of money. So you got that problem. And then think about it, you know, in the context of our current tax system, a lot of states have very high sales taxes already. You see in California and lots of places where the rates are 9 or 10%. So you put a 20% sales tax in, now you're up to 30. It's a big change. And, well, I could keep going. You know, elderly people get crushed by this tax because, you know, they're retired, they're living on their savings, and all of a sudden their savings aren't worth as much because they don't buy as much. So some of the people who like the sales tax brag how tough it is on the elderly, but it seems to me that that's not a particularly good policy, especially for, you know, people who played by the old rules, and all of a sudden you switch them around.
If we're going to pay for all Americans to have health care or to be able to be in a health insurance plan that doesn't have deductibles and has minimal co-payments, which is what the Obama administration says they're going to try to get us to, we're going to need a lot of money because that's going to be a huge drain on the federal budget. But if we can raise money through this national sales tax, and I'm not advocating it, I'm just asking, if we can raise money through a national sales tax that covers that tremendous health cost for all Americans, because we're bearing it as taxpayers even if we're not getting sick, aren't we playing then on a more level playing field? Aren't we paying out of one hand into the other hand?
Well, I have no argument that we need to find ways to pay for health care reform. In fact, my group just came up with some options for doing it, but it doesn't mean raising taxes on middle and low-income people. What we did, and it doesn't sound like much, but it raises $1 trillion over the next decade, which is what they need to pay for the plan they're considering, is just, first of all, change the rules on the current Medicare tax, that 2.9% that employers and employees pay, so that at least on the employee side, it doesn't just apply to your wages, but it applies to the income that doesn't come from wages, like investment income that Wall Street lives off. And that little tax would get you halfway, just expanding, and halfway to paying for the $1 trillion we need for health care reform. And then we have some other suggestions involving the same sorts of ideas, closing loopholes for corporations, and reducing the disparity between taxes on work and taxes on income from money, and we get up to the $1 trillion. So, yes, we can pay for health care reform. You can do it regressively or you can do it progressively, but for most people it's a much better deal to do it with progressive changes that ask those who are getting away with murder to start chipping in.
Which do you think is more harmful to the average American taxpayer, having their income taxed or having their consumption taxed? In other words, a national sales tax or the income tax program that we have right now?
Well, the income tax needs to be reformed, but it's a much better tax for most people than a sales tax. The current system, a family of four doesn't start paying taxes until they make about $50,000 a year. And in fact, below that, their taxes are negative. They get a refundable tax credit for their kids and so forth. So the income tax, with all of its warts, is one that for most Americans is a very good deal. A sales tax would be just the opposite.
There's a study done by a guy who you probably know from the Tax Policy Center. His name is Leonard Berman, and he wrote a report last month that suggested a 25% value-added tax, national sales tax, could help pay for health care reform, balance the federal budget, and exempt millions more families from the income tax while slashing the top income tax rate down to 25%. He says, yes, a gallon of milk would go from $3.50 to $4.50, and renovating your bathroom would go from $5,000 to $6,200, but it would stabilize our nation's debt, and everybody would be able to afford to see a doctor. How do you counter that argument?
Well, you know, we do need to raise revenue to deal with the budget problem and with health care, but you have choices. You can ask poor and middle-income people to pay a lot more, or you can ask those who get the biggest benefits from our society to pay somewhat more. And, you know, that's the choice. Len was a friend of mine. Seems to have sort of given up on the idea that we can have a progressive tax system, and I think that's sad.
All right, explain to me, put this in layman's terms for me, the concept of a regressive tax, which you say a national sales tax would be, and it would hurt people at the lower ends of the spectrum, people who in many cases aren't paying any kind of federal income tax, so the benefits of that wouldn't go to them. But why is a sales tax regressive?
Well, it looks like it's a flat rate, you know, 20%, say, on everything you spend. But when you think about it, if you don't make very much money, you don't have anything left over to save. So you're spending everything you earn, and in many cases, more than you earn. So you're paying the full rate or more. And middle-income people typically don't save a whole lot, so they're paying close to the full rate. But if you make $1 million a year, you can save a lot of it, so you're paying at a much lower rate in terms of your income. And so you have a tax that, you know, might be 25% in the poor and 20% in the middle and 10% on the rich. And, you know, you can have a system like that. Or you can have a system that's the opposite, which would be a progressive system where the poor don't pay and the middle income pay relatively low amounts and the rich pay the highest rates. Take your pick. But obviously, from the point of view of most Americans, the income tax means lower taxes than a sales tax.
Last question for you, Bob, and then I'll take a break and we'll get to some listener phone calls here. A value-added tax in many parts of the world is not just a tax on products, but also on services. You hire an accountant, you hire a lawyer, you have somebody come clean your house, do your lawn, whatever it may be. you don't have to pay a sales tax on those services now. Under a VAT or a national sales tax, you'd have to, right?
Well, in theory, you could have a tax that broad, but think about it. All the lobbying forces in the states that got things to be exempt, whether it's medical care or houses and so forth, those lobbies aren't going to go away. So you're going to have a value-added tax that's going to end up just as complicated as our current income tax, and there'll be the same problems enforcing it. There'll be the same problems with special exemptions, but instead of one tax, you'll have two complicated taxes to deal with.
And just a follow-up to that, wouldn't, you know, with all this discussion of health care and the sales tax possibly paying for health care, wouldn't we actually be paying more for health care because that value-added tax would apply to our health care?
Ironic, isn't it?
Bob, thanks for your time today. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Bob McIntyre, who's the director of the nonprofit Citizens for Tax Justice. We'll take a break, and then we'll come back with your phone calls here at 888-973-CHIRO. That's 888-973-CHIRO. I'm Paul Harris, doing the Dave Ross Show on News Talk 97.3 CHIRO FM.